Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Tonight is Bible study night, and we would like to invite you out to our services. We have three different classes going on tonight. We have a kids class that goes on. We have our adult Bible study. We also have a young adult group that meets, and we would like to invite you out. That young adult group is like 18 to 25. That was our youth group years ago, and they all continued to have birthdays, and now they're in that young adult group. But we have our youth group that meets on Thursday nights. That way they have more of our facilities at their disposal. And so that'll be tomorrow night, but we'd like to invite you out tonight, 7 PM, to come. We're studying, through the book of Exodus. We're reading and studying, about Moses and what, his encounter with God, can mean for our lives. It's a tremendously impactful study. We did a couple of radio programs with Julie West, the author of that book, a few weeks ago. I gave copies to the people from our church that came, and that was a gift from my wife and I. And one of the first Wednesdays, and I told him, I said, it took me a long time to read the book, not because I'm such a slow reader, but because the material was so weighty. And someone showed up at church and said, now I understand what you were talking about. When I read that book, it is so thought-provoking, and it has just a tremendous amount of spiritual meat in it. Hopefully you'll come and join us tonight, 7 p.m., 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. So today we're going to go back to Psalm 111, and we'll begin reading verses 1 through 10 today. We're talking about the nature of God. It says, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So yesterday I was talking about verse number 4, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, and how that investigation of that word. I talked about on an earlier program, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. So as I was living that out, I discovered that God being full of compassion means he's absolute compassion. It permeates everything he does. It's his very nature. It's not just a silo or a combination of silos of different characteristics and nature adjectives, if you will, but instead he is all of these things all at the same time. So the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. We'll look at that a little bit more. I'll share with you some of the other passages that deal with this, some of which I had not found in my original research, because when they translated the passage, even though it's the same word, they translated it in a different aspect, and it gives us a broader coalition of the characteristics and the nature of God. So let's start off today by saying this: God is absolute compassion, and everything he does is compassionate. So let's move on. Verse number 5 says this about God, that he is mindful of his covenant. It says, he has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of covenant. And so of his covenant, that means he's constantly talking about it. And when it's talked about, it is discussed as in a legal discussion. So I don't know if you've ever known people who, once they made a commitment, they had no intention of fulfilling that commitment. If they made you a promise, the one thing you could count on was that they were not going to fulfill that promise. If they, like, I've known people that signed contracts to purchase things that they had no intention of ever fulfilling their end of the contract. I'm not endorsing that. I'm just saying there are people who do that. They're like, hey, I will never live long enough to see the fulfillment of this. And so it doesn't matter really what their economic situation is like. They just continue to move forward and saying, well, you know, when I get done, I will own nothing. And you know, thankfully for them, debts will not be able to chase them to the grave. By the way, is there anybody that's thankful when we get to heaven, there'll be no more mortgage payments, no more debt, no more sickness, no more disease? It really is a good thing to think about in that way. But when it comes to covenant, even though God's people may forget the covenant at times, God never does forget his covenant. So we see that he made a covenant with Noah, and that God's rainbow, as it is in the sky, is a strategic aspect of creation that God uses to remind himself and to remind us that he will never again destroy the earth by a flood of water. It's a covenant. God says, if I ever violate my covenant with the sun, then you may have permission to consider that I may violate my covenant with you. Jesus came not to do away with covenant, but to fulfill the old covenant to establish a new covenant. So one of my great desires would be that the people of God in 2026 would come to embrace a commitment to covenant that mirrors that of God's commitment to covenant that he made with us. Too many times it's about convenience. Too many times it is about whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable. And I'm here to tell you that I am so thankful for walking in covenant with God. It doesn't mean that every step has been easy, but it does mean that every step is made in the presence of God. I'll give you this little sneak preview of some of the things that we've talked about is that in the book Exiting Egypt, Julie West writes that there's a passage where Moses is being sent to Egypt. But the word that is used could be translated two ways. It could mean go or it could mean come. And she said that both translations are acceptable, and some translations use one and other translations use the other. And said in our English, as Moses is encountering God at the burning bush, you would expect God to say go to Egypt. But some translations say, come to Egypt. And the point that she makes is this, that wherever, that if God commands you to go, or if God invites you to come, wherever that destination is, you will find that God is already there and he will accompany you on the journey. God's on the journey with you right now. I remember hearing a story here recently about a person who lost their sight, and the husband was helping them. And finally, he was going to have to go back to work. It was not a couple of retirement age. And he finally said, look, I've trained you. You're doing great. And you're going to have to ride the bus. You're going to have to do what you're supposed to do. And, you know, some bitterness and resentment started to set in until one day as she was riding the bus driver said, I don't know who you are, but I do know this. You are greatly loved. And she said, what do you mean? I can't see. And he said, well, all I know is this. I drop you off here every day, and every day there's a man in a military uniform who is awaiting you when you get off this bus. He watches you until you enter the building, and he salutes you whenever he knows that you've made it to your destination. And I can tell you that you are not on your journey alone today. that whether you feel like you are answering God's great commission to go or you're responding to his compassionate invitation to come with him to embrace the adventure of obedience that he set before us, I can assure you this, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You are not journeying through life alone. You may feel alone in a crowd, but you can be all by yourself communing with the King as well. I'm here to tell you, God loves you. He is ever mindful of his covenant. We are always on his mind, and he should always be on our mind. So before I get off of this, it says in verse number 9, he has commanded his covenant forever. So his covenant is not just in good times. It's not just when you're young. It's not just when you're going through medical school or through university or through the seasons of youth in your life. In fact, God sent Malachi to rebuke the priest who had forsaken the wife of their youth. I tell you, there are a few things that get my ire up, and that is when people use people during the difficult times and then they discard them in the times when life gets easier, when they use people for what they can do for them until they arrive at their objective, and then all of a sudden they say, you know what, I'm going to trade you in on a younger model or whatever. That stuff bothers Bob. I will tell you that. Because covenant with God is supposed to be forever. And it's not just men that do that. Ladies do that as well. And when you think about his covenant, there's a couple of other attributes that are mentioned here about God, and that is that he is holy. He is holy, and his name is awesome. I don't know about, you know, how far back it goes. I know that the Puritans were very rigid in their concept of holiness. Not saying they were wrong. I'm just saying they had a very serious list of do's and don'ts. I do know in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s that there was a very strong list of, you know, if you are holy, this is what you don't do. The emphasis was more on what you don't do than on the things that you are allowed to do. And the thing about lists is behaviors or activities change. So things that you weren't supposed to do back in the 50s and 60s, you weren't supposed to watch certain things on television back in the 50s or 60s, and now you'll find those reruns on Christian television. It's, you know, a different time, different era. So the problem is not with our list. The problem is that the commands of God, the covenant of God, are supposed to be inscribed on our hearts to where it is a heartfelt reaction. So I want to do things not because I have to check off some to-do list, but because what a privilege it is to be loved by a holy God. And so when we we think of that. My frame of reference when I consider the holiness of God has to do with a construction project that my father worked on. I wasn't there. He was traveling. He and my mother traveled to this particular job site, and they were manufacturing semiconductor manufacturing plant. And he came back and he told us about the purification process that the people who were manufacturing the chips actually had to go through, that there were different stages just to make sure that there was no contamination that got into the manufacturing facility that would compromise the computer chip, which is now, let's see, so that was, that would have been 20 to 30 years ago where that was going on. And I can tell you this, all of those efforts for those specific semiconductor computer chips, all of those chips are now worthless because they are archaic. They're outdated. They're too slow. Technology has moved forward, but man was willing to go to the nth degree to try and maintain something that had a very short lifespan. How much more should we value the holiness of God? Because His holiness is absolute perfection. Someone said, what does it take to go to heaven? And the person responded, absolute perfection. So no one's going to heaven. No, I didn't say that. People are going to heaven. Well, how many absolutely perfect people are there on earth right now? None. So no, nobody here is going to earth. Oh, yes, they are. Why? Because there was one absolute perfect individual, and His name is Jesus. And He comes into our heart and He changes us to where we no longer fight against God, but we cooperate with God. And so when He says, be holy even as I am holy, says the Lord, then we respond the way that the Son responded when God said, let there be light, and all of a sudden there is light. Holiness is our response to God's command to be holy, to line up with His word, to line up with His heart, to line up with His lordship. And so holiness is not archaic. It doesn't have anything to do with the length of your hair or the length of your sleeves or the length of your skirt. Those may be some things that show up, but holiness says, look, I don't want to do anything that would grieve the heart of God. So it also says this, awesome is His name. His name is to be praised. His name is to be revered. His name is a name that demons know. His name is a name that demons tremble at. In His name, we get to do life. When we go forth as His ambassadors, as His children. And so there are protocols. I'm a bit fascinated, not with the monarchy of England, but I am fascinated with the protocol that is being instilled into the royal grandchildren, let's put it that way. Think I'll get the William and Kate and their kids, and how the older of the children is a little further along in the understanding of the protocols, and so she's constantly helping the younger siblings to understand, hey, this is how we behave. Now, unfortunately, you know, there's enough history that's out there to know that many times how people behave in public is not how they behave in private. But as children of the King, we carry the banner of His name. And we should be very much the same in public and in private. So praise God for the name of Jesus. Praise God that He is the God who saves. And that holy and awesome is His name. If I can share one more thing with you about yesterday, I was talking about being full of compassion. Psalm 112, verse number 4 says this: unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. The thing that I wanted to highlight about that particular passage that we didn't talk about yesterday is His graciousness, His absolute compassion, and His righteousness are something He longs to bestow upon those who are in right standing with Him. Not something we earn. It's something He bestows. I always, you know, I've said this, I was allergic to getting into trouble. I found discipline from my parents to be painful. And so when I was managing a business, I didn't want to have anything that was, that needed correction. I wanted to make sure that everything was right there because I wanted them to know that I was doing my job. I was doing it to the best of my ability. I want you to know today that if you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, that today His graciousness, His righteousness, and His absolute compassion are being bestowed upon you, because God wants you to know today that He loves you with everything He has, with everything He is. God bless you. You have a great Wednesday. Hopefully we'll see you at Bible study. If not, we'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.